You know, when you eat something, and maybe it doesn't quite agree with you, things feel a bit off.
A bit bubbly, maybe.
Exactly. Well, something sort of similar can happen when we're trying to break down waste to make renewable energy. We're diving into something called anaerobic digestion today, AD for short.
Right. It's basically like a huge natural compost system, but without oxygen. Microbes do all the heavy lifting, breaking down organic waste.
And they produce biogas, which is great renewable energy, and also this stuff called digestate.
That's right, digestate. It's like a treated waste product, often used as fertilizer. It's a really elegant natural process we can harness.
We're talking food scraps, farm waste, wastewater sludge, all that organic stuff.
Yep, all of it.
But like our own digestion, you mentioned these systems can be a bit temperamental. They can run into
We
problems.
definitely can. Sometimes the microbes are just, well, slow. They take their time breaking things down. And if you feed them too much waste too quickly, like overeating, the whole system can get unstable.
Right, overload. Makes sense.
And then there's the smell issue. Hydrogen sulfide gas. It's corrosive and pretty unpleasant.
Yeah, nobody wants that. But here's the really interesting part we found in the research. What if you give these systems just a tiny bit of air?
Microaeration.
Exactly, microaeration. It sounds totally wrong adding oxygen to an anaerobic system.
It absolutely seems counterintuitive. Oxygen is usually seen as the enemy in AD.
But the research suggests this tiny sip of air might actually help them work better, more efficient energy, better waste treatment.
It's fascinating because this tiny tweak seems to tackle some of those key problems we just mentioned, the hydrogen sulfide, the slow breakdown.
It almost makes me think of our own gut microbiome, you know? It's mostly oxygen-free, but there are complex things going on, different microbes doing different jobs.
That's a great analogy. And speaking of specialized microbes, there's this recent discovery of nanorobes.
Nanorobes, tiny robots.
Not quite. Tiny microorganisms that thrive in extremely low oxygen conditions. They might be key players in why microaeration works, like super specialized digestive aids in our gut.
Okay, interesting. Like little specialists.
Very much so. They use oxygen at levels that are almost undetectable. It really echoes the complexity within our own digestive systems.
So that's our mission today. Figure out how adding a little bit of oxygen, this microaeration, could potentially revolutionize how we get energy from waste. Let's start with the basics, though. How does anaerobic digestion normally work? Step by step.
Okay, so fundamentally, AD happens in four main stages. First up is hydrolysis.
Hydrolysis, like hydrating something.
Sort of. Think of it like the chewing part of digestion. Complex stuff, big molecules in the waste gets broken down by microbial enzymes into simpler things like sugars and fats that can dissolve in water.
Okay, so breaking down the big chunks first. Got it. What's next?
Next is acidogenesis. Different bacteria jump in and ferment those simpler compounds.
Fermenting, like making beer.
Similar process, different products. Here they make things like short chain fatty acids plus some hydrogen and carbon dioxide. This is like the next stage of breakdown in your stomach.
Right, things are getting broken down into more basic bits. Then what?
Then comes acetogenesis. Other specialized microbes convert most of those fatty acids into acetic acid, that's the main component of vinegar, and also generate more hydrogen.
Okay, so more conversion. It's like a production line.
Exactly. It's crucial because the final stage really needs that acetic acid and hydrogen.
And that final stage is where the energy comes from, the methane.
Precisely. Methanogenesis. This is where the methanogens, a specific group of archaea, actually take over.
Archaea, okay,
Yeah,
not bacteria.
right. They consume the acetic acid and the hydrogen, and they release methane and carbon dioxide. That mixture is our biogas.
Wow, so four stages all needing different microbes working together.
Absolutely. It's a whole community. And the balance is critical. If you disrupt that balance, the whole thing can slow down or even fail.
Like getting your gut flora out of whack. You
Yeah.
feel it, right? So, what throws these digesters off balance?
Well, like we hinted at, overloading your duodenum. Too much food, too fast. This can lead to a buildup of those volatile fatty acids, VFAs.
VFAs, the acidic stuff from stage two.
Exactly. Too much VFA or too much ammonia or even too much hydrogen can actually poison the methanogens, the ones making the methane.
Oh, so they stop working.
Yeah, it can bring the process to a screeching halt. It's actually a significant issue. Some reports show quite a high failure rate for farm-based digesters, for instance. Managing these conditions and dealing with things like hydrogen sulfide are major challenges.
That really highlights the need for careful control then. What specific things need managing?
Key parameters are things like pH, how acidic or alkaline it is, temperature, which is crucial for microbial activity, and the organic loading rate, which is how fast you feed the waste in.
Right. You need to keep everything in the Goldilocks zone.
Pretty much, yes. Keeping them optimal requires careful monitoring, often using quite sophisticated control systems, especially in larger plants.
Okay, so that's standard AD. Now, this microaeration, when you say tiny sip of air, how tiny are we talking?
We're talking really small amounts. It's usually measured in liters of oxygen per liter of the reactor volume per day. Mm-hmm. The range is typically something like 0.005 up to maybe 5 liters. Mm-hmm. Very controlled.
0.005. That's minuscule.
It is. You might hear different terms too, like limited aeration or microoxygenation, but it's the same core idea. A tiny controlled oxygen dose.
It still feels weird, though. Why add oxygen at all? Won't it kill the anaerobes, especially those methane producers?
That's the classic view. And yes, high levels of oxygen are toxic to strict anaerobes like methanogens. But the surprise is what happens at these very low controlled levels.
Okay.
The research shows benefits. Like we mentioned, it helps remove that hydrogen sulfide. It can actually speed up that initial breakdown, the hydrolysis. And it helps keep those VFA levels stable.
So this tiny bit of oxygen has these knock-on positive effects. That's pretty remarkable. Is anyone actually doing this commercially?
Yes, actually. The most established use is for biogas desulfurization, getting rid of that hydrogen sulfide.
Oh,
particularly in wastewater treatment plants in Europe. They inject a small amount of air specifically to help microbes convert the H2S. So the principle is already out there working.
Interesting. So how does it work at the microbial level? What are the microbes actually doing with that little bit of oxygen?
This is where the microbial community dynamics get really cool. You have different types of microbes in there. Some are facultative anaerobes.
Facultative, meaning?
Meaning they're flexible. They can live without oxygen. But if a little bit is around, they can use it. So they consume the small amount of oxygen that's introduced.
Okay, they breathe it.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
But this process can generate something called reactive oxygen species, ROS.
ROS, those sound bad, like free radicals.
They can be harmful, yes. But it seems the microbes have defense mechanisms. Both the facultative ones and even some strict anaerobes can produce antioxidant enzymes.
Like the antioxidants we eat.
Similar function.
Yeah.
Enzymes like superoxide dismutase, catalase. They neutralize the ROS, protecting the cells. It's like they put up little shields.
So at these low levels, the oxygen isn't necessarily toxic because they can handle it.
Exactly. They adapt and protect themselves. There's another interesting thing that happens too. The formation of microbial flocks.
Flocks, like clumps.
Yeah, little aggregates or clumps of microbes. The oxygen tolerant ones tend to hang out on the outside of these flocks.
Ah, so they use up the oxygen before it gets deeper inside.
Precisely. They consume the oxygen, creating a sort of oxygen-free sanctuary in the middle of the flock, which protects the really sensitive microbes like the methanogens. It's like a little microbial fortress.
That's a clever community strategy. And what about those partnerships you mentioned where one microbe's waste is another's food?
Syntrophy?
Syntrophic relationships, yes. Microaeration seems to be able to subtly influence these. It might favor certain groups that break down specific compounds, making their byproducts more readily available for the next group in line.
So it could optimize the whole microbial teamwork. Potentially, yes, leading to more efficient overall processing.
Okay, let's zoom in on hydrolysis again, breaking down the tough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How does microaeration help there?
Right. For materials like, say, agricultural waste or woody biomass lignocellulose, that hydrolysis step can be really slow. A bottleneck.
Yeah, tough stuff to digest.
Microaeration seems to give it a boost. That small amount of oxygen appears to stimulate the enzymes that break down these complex structures. So it makes the initial sugars and things available more quickly for the later stages.
Like giving the system a little jump start for the hard work.
Kind of, yeah. But it's a balancing act.
How so?
Well, the amount of oxygen needed might depend on the waste. Tougher waste might need a bit more oxygen to kickstart hydrolysis.
Yeah.
But too much oxygen, and those facultative bacteria might just use up all the good stuff themselves through aerobic respiration, meaning less gets turned into methane.
Ah, so they eat the lunch meant for the methanogens.
You could put it that way. Finding that sweet spot for the oxygen dose is absolutely critical. Not too much, not too little.
Okay. Finding the balance. Now, what about those VFAs, the volatile fatty acids that can cause the system to get, you know, indigestion?
Right. This is another key benefit. If you have easily digestible waste, it breaks down fast, and you can get a rapid spike in VFAs.
Like eating too much sugar all at once.
Exactly. And if those VFAs build up too much, they lower the pH and inhibit the methanogens. Microaeration helps manage this.
How?
That little bit of oxygen allows some microbes to essentially burn off those excess VFAs aerobically. It prevents them from accumulating to inhibitory levels, keeping the whole process much more stable, avoiding that crash.
So it acts like a safety valve, almost. Prevents the system from getting overwhelmed by its own intermediate product.
And this is smelly gas.
H2S.
Hydrogen sulfide. Yeah, microaeration provides a biological route to deal with it. Certain microbes, stimulated by the trace oxygen, convert the H2S into elemental sulfur, which is solid, or other less harmful sulfur compounds.
That sounds much better than just venting it or using chemicals.
It's generally considered a more sustainable approach. But again, control is key. Because if you add too much oxygen just to get rid of H2S, you risk oxidizing some of the organic matter you wanted to turn into methane. You could lose energy yield.
Right. So you need very precise control.
Absolutely. Researchers are using things like automated feedback loops, maybe based on oxidation reduction potential, ORP sensors, to dose the oxygen just right. Enough to remove sulfide, but not enough to hurt methane production significantly. Plus, you have to manage the elemental sulfur produced so it doesn't, say, clog pipes.
Okay, so smart technology is definitely needed to make this work reliably. Now let's circle back to those nanorobes. They sound fascinating. What's their specific talent?
Nanorobes are relatively new on the scene, microbiologically speaking. Their unique thing is thriving and actually respiring, using oxygen at incredibly low concentrations, nanomolar levels, barely there.
Nanomolar.
And they have a special enzyme, a type of cytochrome oxidase that lets them do this. But interestingly, they can't handle higher oxygen levels, even just slightly higher micromolar levels. They're true low oxygen specialists.
So where do they live? You mentioned cow stomachs.
Exactly. They've been found in the rumen of cows and sheep. And also, intriguingly, in some high-performing anaerobic digesters that seem to operate with these trace oxygen conditions, it's led to this idea of nanaerobic digestion.
Nanaerobic digestion. So it's like AD, but with these specialists involved.
Kind of. The idea is that these nanaerobes play a key role in these environments. In the rumen, for example, bacteria from the Prevotellaceae family seem to be common nanaerobes.
And what did they do there?
They're known for breaking down complex plant fibers, so it fits, right? Their activity might be part of why rumens are so efficient. The similarities in microbial communities and performance between rumens and these slightly oxygenated digesters are really striking. It suggests trace oxygen isn't just tolerated, it's beneficial, possibly because of these nanaerobes.
So maybe the traditional four steps of AD isn't the whole story in these systems.
That's the hypothesis. Nanaerobic digestion could be seen as a five-step process, with this nanaerobic respiration happening alongside the others.
And what does that fifth step do?
Under these ultra-low oxygen conditions, the nanaerobes can apparently break down those VFAs completely, oxidizing them all the way to carbon dioxide.
Okay. And how does that help make methane?
Well, that CO2 then becomes food for the hydrogen-consuming methanogens, the hydrogenotrophic methanogens. They combine the CO2 with hydrogen to make methane.
Is that pathway better somehow?
Thermodynamically, under these specific low-oxygen, high-hydrogen conditions that might arise, it seems this VFA oxidation, coupled with hydrogenotrophic methanogenesis, can actually be more energetically favorable. It might extract more energy overall.
So the nanaerobes clean up the VFAs, make CO2, and that actually helps another group of methanogens make more methane.
That seems to be the idea. The increased CO2 from the nanaerobes could actually stimulate that specific type of methane production. It's a really neat example of potential synergy within the microbial community.
This really changes the picture of anaerobic digestion. So, summing up, what are the big implications here? Where could this research lead?
The potential is huge, really. If we can get a good handle on controlling microaeration, maybe even cultivating these nanaerobic conditions deliberately, we could see biogas production become significantly more efficient and reliable. From all sorts of waste agricultural, food industry, wastewater. It could mean more stable AD plants, handling higher loads without crashing.
More renewable energy, better waste treatment. Sounds like a win-win. Are there economic benefits too?
Oh, absolutely. Higher biogas yield means more energy to sell or use. More stable operation means lower running costs, less downtime, fewer problems with things like H2S corrosion.
But it sounds like we're not quite ready for plug-and-play systems everywhere just yet.
No, not quite. While the lab and pilot scale results are really promising and the desulfurization application is established, reliably implementing this for enhanced overall AD at full industrial scale needs more work.
What kind of work?
Developing and refining those advanced monitoring and control systems is key. We need robust, cost-effective ways to maintain those precise, low-oxygen conditions consistently. And more research to fully understand all the microbial interactions in different types of waste.
So lots of promise, but still needs refinement for widespread rollout.
Exactly. We need to bridge the gap from promising lab results to reliable, full-scale engineering solutions.
Okay, so let's wrap this deep dive up. The big takeaway seems to be that adding just a tiny controlled amount of oxygen microaeration can surprisingly boost anaerobic digestion.
Right. It helps break down waste, stabilizes the process by controlling VFAs, removes nasty hydrogen sulfide.
And it might be partly thanks to these amazing nanaerobes, these low oxygen specialists.
And that's a key part of the emerging picture, yes.
And the analogy holds up, like our own digestion needing a complex, balanced microbial community. And maybe these digesters work best with a similarly complex, subtly managed environment. Even our own systems get upset with imbalances, right?
Absolutely. A little imbalance can cause discomfort, or in the digester's case, inefficiency. It highlights how delicate and complex these microbial ecosystems are, whether inside us or in a reactor.
It really makes you think, you know, how our understanding keeps evolving. Things that seem like hard rules, like no oxygen in anaerobic digestion, might have important exceptions or nuances. It makes you wonder what other biological rules might be worth questioning by looking closer at the microbial world.
That's a wonderful question to leave things on. The microbial world is constantly surprising us. For anyone listening who wants to explore further, definitely look into the research on microaeration, anaerobic digestion, and the broader field of microbial ecology in engineered systems. It's a really dynamic area where biology and engineering meet to find sustainable solutions.